Your basketball appointment show starts now. This is Bucks Weekly, your weekly checkup of your Milwaukee Bucks and all around the rest of the NBA. And now here's your host, Justin Garcia.
All right, welcome to the later than usual edition of Bucks Weekly. This is the fourth week of the NBA season. We are nearing the fifth week of the season. Hard to believe, already about to complete the fourth week of NBA regular season games being here. But here we are, and the other spot we are is the Bucks at the top of the Eastern Conference. 10-1 now. Lot to dissect from last night's game. A number of ways to look at it. It was the Marjon Beauchamp breakout. He had the big performance against the T-Wolves last Friday and just continues to build upon that. We talked a lot about this on Bucks Talk last night. If you missed that show, you can catch it on our flagship podcast feed. Search Bucks Talk. Wherever you get your podcasts, you can find the feed. You can get Bucks Talk. You can get the NBAM. You can get this show. But we talked about this a lot last night on Bucks Talk, just the growth you continue to see from Marjon Beauchamp. And, you know, you've kind of seen the opposite, unfortunately, from Jordan Mora. I don't think anybody would dispute which of those two players is more tailored for this system, especially with the defensive skills that Marjon Beauchamp has. But as good as this is to see from Marjon, you also have to realize he's got the opportunities now. Because Chris Middleton is out. Pat Connaughton is still out. Joe Ingles is yet to make his debut. There are minutes open on the wing. That is slowly going to start to evaporate, though. Once you start to piece together this roster, it's not to say there's no chance for a guy like Marjon Beauchamp to find those minutes and sustain those minutes, but it's just going to make it a little more difficult. But what we do know is this. In the interim, the opportunity is there and now, because last night you did not have Giannis, you did not have Chris Middleton, obviously. Pat Connaughton is obviously out. Jrue Holiday missed the game as well with an ankle sprain. Suffered that on Monday. And we heard from Coach Budenholzer, Jrue Holiday's probably not going to play on Friday. You know, it was a nasty ankle turn. We give him the day off here, game off here. We give him the game off Friday night as the road trip comes to an end. Then you get 2 days off, and you're essentially buying Jrue Holiday a week off. You return home on Monday, two games at home. Those Atlanta Hawks, once again, and the Cleveland Cavaliers on Wednesday, another team you're going to see quite a bit here in the near future. Then you go on the road for one game, then you get another weekend off, and then it's back home for the entire week of Thanksgiving. So we approach things assuming Friday, tomorrow night, we're not going to see Jrue. Latest injury report is available, and those fears are confirmed, or assumptions, I should say, are confirmed. Jrue Holiday has been listed as out with that ankle sprain. Joe Ingles, still out. Pat Connaughton, still listed as out. And we were initially told 3 weeks for Pat Connaughton. That was October 16th. We were told 3 weeks, which would have put you to this past Sunday at 3 weeks. So it's going to extend to at least 4 weeks that Pat Connaughton is out. Chris Middleton joined the team in the middle of the road trip, and you saw him on the sidelines last night in OKC, and that kind of got the wheels turning of, well, why would Chris Middleton join the team in the middle of the road trip? Is Chris Middleton possibly going to be back on Friday? That answer is also no. He has also been ruled out for the game Friday night. And Giannis, who missed the game last night with left knee soreness, has also been ruled out on the injury report for tomorrow night against the San Antonio Spurs. So You liked what you saw last night. Another opportunity for another big performance from Marjon Beauchamp, Javon Carter, Grayson Allen, Brooke Lopez. We're going to continue to state the case for Brooke Lopez to be an all-star. He has certainly played like one thus far this season, but the 2.0 game is what we're going to see Friday night. Another game with no Giannis, Chris, Drew, Pat, Joe Ingles. It's down to the same guys he had Wednesday night, in Oklahoma City. So that's the latest from the Bucks injury report. A lot of time to dissect what we saw from Javon Carter and relive that incredible performance and preview this pesky San Antonio Spurs team, very similar to the team you faced last night in the Oklahoma City Thunder. We'll get to all of that. But when we return, we'll hand things over to Gale Klappa. This week, Gale Klappa catches up with Bucks associate head coach Charles Lee. You will hear that conversation after this on Bucks Weekly.
The names you know.
We're joined by one of the key players on the Bucks roster, Bucks forward Pat Connaughton. He's a player that Wisconsin fans know well, Wesley Matthews, a majority owner and the current governor of the team, Mark Lazzari.
Talking about your favorite basketball team, from on the court to off.
You never know, you might not have that many years left, so the hunger is for sure still there.
But I mean this, I think the fans in Milwaukee honestly recruited Bobby Portis more than anybody. I mean, he loves the fans in Milwaukee.
It's time to go courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's your host, Gale Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gale Klappa, and this is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. Well, the Hawks got hot in hot Atlanta Monday night, and for the Bucks, the streak came to an end. Out of the gate, the Bucks had racked up 9 straight wins, the best start in franchise history. But 10-0 was not to be. Now the road trip rolls on, and you can bet the Bucks will be hungry when they next hit the hardwood. Tonight, though, we're in for a treat. We'll visit with a key member of the Brain Trust. Charles Lee is a rising star in the coaching ranks and the top assistant to Coach Bud. Charles, always fun to visit with you. Thanks so much for joining us here on Courtside.
Gale, thanks for having me. I'm excited to spend some time with you today.
Appreciate it very much, Charles. And I guess the best way to describe Monday night is Mama said there'd be days like this, but the Bucks are in the middle of the first real road trip of the season. Talk about where you're headed and what your observations are coming off the Monday night loss.
Yeah, you know, unfortunate loss. You give credit, obviously, to Atlanta. They played really well, even without Trae Young playing. But I thought that for the most part, our team played really hard. They competed. We had a great first half, built like a 6-point lead at halftime, and I think we kind of just ran out of gas, and the Hawks kicked it into another gear.
Amen. Well, Charles, as you know, the Bucks came into the week sporting the top-rated defense in the NBA. Tell us, if you will, about the points of emphasis that you and Coach Bud have asked the team to focus on to strengthen the defense this season.
Yeah, the defense, you know, even since I've been with Coach Bud, and this is going into year 9 with him, there's always been an emphasis on defense. Like, we can't control, obviously, shots and what the other team, how the other team's going to guard us, but every night we can depend on our defensive effort, our defensive competitiveness, and trying to just make other teams miserable and uncomfortable. And I would say coming into this year, we've made an emphasis on trying to reduce teams' three-pointers. Over the years, as we've built an elite defense, sometimes historical, we've given up a lot of threes. And so we were like, as we continue to just evolve as a team, as a group, let's try to see what other aspects we can add to our defensive schemes. And so I think the guys have been much better about being mindful of limiting threes, but not being fearful. You know, we still got to be active. We still got to be together and make it hard for people to get to the paint. And so I'd say the other part that probably doesn't have much to do with our schemes. It's just nice having Brooke back for a whole year. When you have a guy like that that's such a presence in the paint and can protect the rim, I think he's also helped our defense go to another level. So I would say the threes, having Brooke back, and then just being able to play a lot of different ways. So far early in the year, we've had some success because I think that we can play big. You know, Giannis, Bobby, Brooke playing together. And we can play small, Giannis at the five, and then traditional. And so those different lineups are helping us bring a different type of defensive impact.
Charles, you mentioned Brooke Lopez, and we were visiting last week with John Horst, and we joked that seeing Brooke move on the court this season, it almost seems like he's found the fountain of youth. Was it a year off? Was it the back surgery? Was it a combination? What do you think is really giving new rise to Brooke Lopez on the court?
I think having a full offseason, you know, we've had some condensed off seasons these last couple of years because of COVID. Obviously, Brooke was dealing with an injury with his back. And now he had a full offseason to be able to train and do the thing that he usually does to prepare for the season. And he looked phenomenal. And I'm just happy for him that all the hard work that he puts in on a daily basis, he's starting to see the results from it.
And Charles, it looks like with Splash Mountain, Brooke Lopez, we're beginning to see the guy they used to call Brooklyn Brooke, who led the Nets in scoring.
I agree. Like, it's pretty nice when you have a guy as one of your starters, one of your main players. But you don't play through a ton, but he's finding ways, I would say, on the offensive boards to get a couple more possessions. And his just movement around Giannis, around Drew, as a pick-and-roll screener. And then at times when they're out of the game, we dump it into him, like you said, and we let Brooklyn Brook go to work. So he's just so well-rounded. I think our team is really well-rounded, and it's a great luxury, and we're really excited to have him back.
And, Charles, for a minute, let's talk a bit about a player who's relatively new to Bucks fans, Javon Carter, and the defensive skills that Javon is bringing to this team.
You talk about another guy that has elevated our defensive intensity and competitiveness. Javon is definitely one of those guys. Putting him next to Drew in the starting lineup right now, like, you have two really elite long ball defenders. I think the dog that he brings, the nastiness, the competitiveness, it really just continues to elevate our whole group. And I'd say on top of it, as most people think of him as a defender, he's shown that he can also, on the offensive end, make some plays for us. He's been a really good catch and shoot. I think that he's driven the ball well and been able to kick out and create some offense for us too. So he's been a dual threat, and we've been really excited with what he's been doing as a young guard in this league, kind of first year, getting a chance to start. And another guy, when it comes to player development here in Milwaukee, we're all about daily improvement. And that guy has taken to that full-heartedly and was here a lot during the summer and just put the time in. And it's really just paying off for him.
And Charles, speaking of his offensive skills, I believe he hit 5 threes in a game, in a single game the other night.
Oh, yeah. And that's the motto here. You got to let it fly when you're open. People are creating so many crowds for Giannis, for Drew. And as soon as they drive and collapse the defense, we got to have some willing, confident guys out there on the perimeter that are ready to shoot that thing. And he is definitely not afraid to let that thing fly.
And we'll keep letting it fly with Charles Lee in a moment. This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
You're listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. Now back to Gale Klappa with Bucks assistant coach Charles Lee.
Charles, 82 games spread over 7 months, the NBA season a marathon. I'm curious about how you and the coaching staff keep the team on an even keel with so many over the season, so many emotional ups and downs.
I think one of the things that I've learned from Coach Bud is to not get too high, not to get too low. And we have goals that we set out at the beginning of the season for our team. And one of the main things that we talk about is just daily improvement. And when we're thinking about daily improvement, some days it's an intense practice, some days it's a game. Some days it's an individual workout on the court. Some days it's a workout in the weight room. Whatever that day holds, let's just get better. And we don't know what the results are going to be. You might shoot it really well in that workout. You might play really hard and lose a game or win a game. And no matter what the results are on a day-to-day basis, we just got to know that we're going to try our hardest, we're going to compete, and we're going to focus on trying to get better. And so I think that we keep that mindset the whole year, of challenging ourselves, working hard, but just trying to get better every day and let the results fall where they may, and we'll learn from whatever happens.
Tremendous success based on that philosophy, obviously, over the years. And Charles, as you know very well, the Bucks returned 14 players to the roster this season. That's the most in the NBA. As a coach, you must really relish that much continuity. Your thoughts?
Oh, it's so good to have that type of continuity, Gale. And, you know, togetherness is a big word that you hear around our facility a lot, too. I'd say competitiveness and togetherness, because we understand that we can't do anything without each other. And so to have that chemistry, to have that camaraderie of the guys that have been here before, I think it's just great for our overall team spirit, having the corporate knowledge of what we want to do. And then you're starting the season at a little bit of a different level than other teams, because we don't need to start at the ground level maybe in training camp. We can already go to like, hey, we've been doing this for a year now. Let's start at this point A of offense. Let's start at this point C of defense. You know what I mean? Like, just the layers are able to come around a lot quicker with a team like this. And then there's also just some trust that's built. So when you talk about going through an 82-game season, there's been some trust built and understanding how guys are going to respond to certain situations because we've gone through them before, that we don't need to get too high or too low because we know the competitive spirit. We know the character of our guys from being together for so long.
And Charles, not only are 14 players back with great continuity, but Rex is back on the sidelines as well. Tell us about Rex.
Rex?
Brook Lopez's little dinosaur.
That's the doll. So when you say, oh my gosh, I'm sitting here like, Rex? Brook Lopez's dinosaur, Rex. I don't even know much about him. I just know that this part of Brook's routine when he goes into the game, he's got his chalk right there. He's got his Rex in place. And I think there's also a bigger Rex that's in the back in the locker room that he has too, that the training staff. So, like, there's a lot of different Rexes going on. it'd be great to sit down with Brooke and ask how the whole Rex thing originated, because it does throw me for a loop sometimes.
I have no idea how Rex originated, but he apparently is a fixture with our friend Splash Mountain.
He definitely is. And whatever Brooke needs to keep playing well, I'll go buy another Rex if he needs.
There you go. Well, Charles, Bobby Portis was one of the key players who re-signed with the Bucks in the offseason. And gosh, in the early going, it sure looks like Bobby has taken his game to even a better level.
You're spot on, Gail. Bobby, the spirit that he brings to our team every night when he checks into the game has been phenomenal. It's like you have your starting group that sets a tone, and then it goes to a whole nother level when you check Bobby into a game, especially at home when we start hearing the Bobby, Bobby, Bobby chants. But in all seriousness, another guy that has just bought into the whole mindset of daily improvement and player development, and he's seeing it. He's seeing the results. I think that last year in the playoffs, having an opportunity without Chris playing to have an expanded role, he took that loss kind of hard to Boston. And he said he learned some things, and he definitely worked on them this summer. And he's come back in great shape with a different mindset that's been unbelievable. And so really happy to see that he's gotten off to a really good start here.
And election day, it was this past week. Even though Bobby's name is not on the ballot, he appears to be the mayor of Milwaukee.
I'm right there with you. I almost, when I went to go do my early voting, I almost slotted him into one of those things that said write-in candidate, but I decided to hold off.
There are probably several people who will write him in as a write-in candidate. And Charles, I know you have to be pleased with a 9-1 record so far, but the team has actually, as you well know, been playing shorthanded. Can you give us a quick status update on Chris Middleton and Pat Connaughton and where they stand in their recovery?
Yes, both players have been working extremely hard to get back to the court. I'll start with Chris, and I would just say that he's dying to get back out there and play. He's doing everything asked of him and more. And I think that it's up to us as the performance staff, as the coaching staff, to properly plan out his whole return to play. And so it's a day-by-day, week-by-week thing and conversations, but working extremely hard, and he's on the right step. He's taking the right steps to be back with us at some point soon. And Pat Connaughton, same thing. He's been working. He's on the court, elevating his rehab every day. And I think that at some point we can look forward to having him too. And you talk about bringing back certain players. Like, you have two unbelievable leaders, unbelievable players that are just going to add to our group. So we're really excited about that.
And, of course, the Bucks signed a sharp-shooting veteran, Joe Ingles, in the offseason. He, too, is recovering from knee surgery. Are you still, do you think, Charles, targeting January for Joe's debut with the Bucks?
You know, I don't think there's actually a date in mind right now with Joe. It's pretty much the same process. Like, we like to go about things in terms of just being process-oriented. And so there's going to be a plan in place for Joe, and if he's able to check off certain boxes, I think that'll help us determine when he is ready to play. But he's been great, and he's getting a little antsy, I can already tell. He's doing his rehab workouts, he's doing his shooting workouts, and talking a lot of trash to a lot of people that come by his basket. So he's itching to get out here and start competing with the team.
And I understand he's challenging Chris Middleton to shooting contests in every shoot-around. Is that right?
That is correct. I think he's challenging him in every shooting contest, every passing contest. I think I've even heard them joke about who has the better defensive rating. They are just two competitive guys with one another while also becoming really friendly really fast.
And we'll have more with Charles Lee in a moment. It's Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ.
This is Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. Here's more with Gail Klappa and Bucks assistant coach Charles Lee.
Charles, you had a fascinating experience this past summer with a program called Basketball Without Borders. Tell our listeners, if you will, about the program and the part of the world where all that action took place.
Well, you know, I was blessed to be a part of the Basketball Without Borders this year in Africa, and it took place in Egypt. And I've been trying to get on one of these trips for a while. I think that in terms of being able to network and just see the exposure that basketball has around the globe to kind of bring people together and to see the dreams of kids getting to work with NBA coaches and NBA players and learn from them and feel like their dream is starting to unfold and that they're going to have an opportunity to hopefully one day play in the NBA or at a really high level. And so this year's camp that I got to attend was in Africa. I was joined by Steve Kerr, Chauncey Billups, Wes Unseld Jr., Chris Finch, Willie Green, and I got to sit down and pick their brains about basketball. I also got to sit down and pick their brains about just their approach every day with coaching and their teams, and get to listen to them during the clinics and get to sit down and watch them run stations. So from a growth standpoint, it was cool to be around these knowledgeable coaches. And then the other side of it was the kids that we got to work with. These were the top, I would say, 40 to 50 girls and boys basketball players on the continent of Africa. And to hear their stories about never getting to leave their respective territories, and this is the first time they've been on a flight, this is the first time they've been to a camp with these type of resources, it really touched my heart. And so loved getting to work with them. And actually, I've kept in touch with a bunch of them. They send me videos of them doing workouts and telling me how they're still grinding and working to try to get to the NBA. And it's been really cool, and it's kind of changed my whole perspective on just why I coach.
It sounds really fascinating, and I'll bet you also got to see the pyramids.
I did. So going to see the pyramids, going to see the Sphinx, you got to check off some of these seven wonders of the world. And so I got to do that. That was also great. Unfortunately, school started at that point. So the NBA allowed me to bring a plus one, but I couldn't even bring my wife because she was here making sure the kids got off to their first day of school.
Oh, goodness. I'm sorry that it didn't work out for her. I'm sure it was maybe a little bit cool in the household for a while, Charles.
Very true.
Well, Charles, you're in a new role with Coach Bud this season. You've been promoted to assistant head coach. Tell us, if you will, how your responsibilities have changed and what's your biggest challenge facing you today?
Not much has changed, if I'm being honest, Gail. I think that Coach has always given me the opportunity to have a large voice on the staff, a lot of responsibility in-game, at practices, which has kind of helped me grow. And on top of him continuing to help me grow, I've been blessed to work with some amazing assistant coaches. So like Darvin Ham and Taylor Jenkins and Kenny Atkinsons and Ben Sullivan, like all these guys have helped really my growth as a coach and finding my voice and explaining to me defense, offense, the right ways to just handle certain situations It feels like it was just a natural move for me to kind of move up into this position. And so there's been a lot of trust built. And the biggest challenge going forward for me is just to stay humble, I would say, and to stay focused on just continuing to be the best assistant coach I possibly can here with this team until I do get my own opportunity, hopefully one day, to be a head coach. I think that as I've gone through the process with a bunch of teams, you can get a little too thirsty, a little too focused on that, and you forget about it. You still got to do a great job at where you are, and the team needs to have success in order for you to continue to move up. So that's probably the biggest thing for me.
That makes a lot of sense, Charles. And if you will, let's step back just for a minute and take just a little bit of time to reflect. This is your, as you mentioned, your ninth season as an NBA coach. And I'm curious, what are the two or three most important leadership lessons that you've learned over the journey?
I've learned communication is key. And so part of that communication is building relationships. So number one, building the relationship with the players, having a rapport with them, and then communicating the truth to them. And sometimes it's going to be good, sometimes it's going to be bad, but you just got to keep it real. And so I would say that those are two of the things that I learned really quickly. And the third one is just consistency of person. And that's what I focus on coming in every day, no matter what's going on in my personal life, what's going on with the team in terms of wins and losses. Just coming in every day, bringing the right spirit and trying to keep everybody positive.
Well, that makes a ton of sense. You know, interesting, Charles, looking back, the best boss I ever worked for was the same guy on May 1 as he was at midnight on New Year's Eve. You mentioned consistency, and that, I think, is just huge in terms of garnering respect and being able to communicate. Your thoughts?
Oh, for sure. And the players also know from that standpoint, if there is some consistency, that it translates to their routines and to their habits and stuff like that. Like, if I'm going to preach consistency to them, I think that I need to practice what I preach.
Yep. Amen. Well, Charles, always great to visit with you. We really appreciate your time today, and you've been listening to Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks on WTMJ. So long, everybody.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
All right, our thanks to Gail Klappa and Associate Head Coach Charles Lee. Again, if you missed that, any of that conversation, you can get the whole interview on the Bucks flagship podcast feed. Get that wherever you get your podcasts. Final few minutes, segments of the program. I want to touch on the injury report once again, as it's going to be the second straight game with no Giannis or Drew Holiday, and still no return for Chris Middleton or Pat Connaughton. So if you liked what you saw against the Thunder, get used to more of that tomorrow night. Only hopefully this is 48 minutes and not 58 minutes like we got in OKC. The other thing that is really long overdue is more appreciation for number 11, the man in the middle, Brook Lopez, and what he has done so far this season. He's played in all 11 games. That in itself is remarkable. If we go back 1 year ago, we were 2.5-3 weeks into the uncertainty of not knowing when or if you would see Brook Lopez again. I remember having that very exact conversation of, you know, the longer this goes, the less we know. And I wasn't alone. It's not necessarily when, but you have to shift your attention to if you get Brook Lopez back. Could this be it for a guy who was 33 years old then? He's 34 now. Had a lot of miles on the body. That was his 14th season in the league. And, I mean, Brook Lopez, let us not forget, he had a couple of really serious leg injuries. In the 2011 season, he played just 5 games. The 2011-2012 season, because of a broken bone in his foot. And then 2 seasons later, it popped up again. He played 17 games. you get a serious leg injury, and granted, none of that surfaced from that point forward, but still, serious leg issues that he had early in his career, now a back issue, a seven-footer, and a man in his close to mid-30s, it's fair to assume, what does this mean for the future of Brook Lopez? And that uncertainty went on all the way until March. He played 13 games last year. He started 11. I'm assuming Brook Lopez is going to play and start tomorrow night. If and when he does that, he will surpass the amount of games he started a season ago. If he plays tomorrow and plays Monday and plays Wednesday he will surpass the amount of games he played a season ago. It has been remarkable what you have gotten from him this year. And I'm going to keep bringing this up. What Brook Lopez went through versus a guy like Al Horford, who basically got a free year of vacation, his pit stop in OKC. Thunder acquired Al Horford and did the same thing they did with Chris Paul. They said, look, we're not trying to win. You're a veteran. You want to win. We want to get you to a place where you can win. But do us this favor. Take the year off, essentially. Al Horford in the 2020-2021 season traded from the Sixers to the Thunder, and Al Horford played in 28 games that season. 28 games played. He did start all of them, but played 28 games, played about 28 minutes a game in those games, but it wasn't an injury issue, wasn't health or anything like that. It was the Oklahoma City Thunder saying, look, let's take it easy here. We'll rest you. We'll do the same thing we did with Chris Paul. He helped us out in the interim because we were much better then, but take the year off. You'll feel better and energized, and we'll find a new home for you where you can contend, and that's exactly what happened. He found himself then in Boston once again in that Kemba Walker trade, and Al Horford looked incredible last year. You cannot help but wonder how much of that had to do with playing 28 games the year prior and getting basically a year of rest and relaxation for a man right around the same age as Brook Lopez at the time that occurred. He was 34 years old. Now, going under the knife on your back is much different than that, but you cannot help but wonder, not having a full year of wear and tear and running up and down the court and getting on planes and dealing with guys in the post, how much of that really rejuvenated Brook Lopez and made him look as good as he has looked in a Bucks uniform? It's been incredible this season. Second in the league in blocked shots per game at 2.7, and he leads the NBA in blocked shots with 30. He's had multiple five-block games. He has had a blocked shot in every game this season, and he's got a streak now of 14 straight games with a blocked shot. 21 is the most he's had, longest streak in his career. He did that in a Bucks uniform his second year here in Milwaukee. He has been absolutely incredible. So even without Giannis, without Drew Holiday, you still have him manning that defense. He has played like an all-star this season. As crazy as that is to suggest, he's averaging 15.5 points a game. I know it's early. That would be his highest average since he was in Brooklyn. His final year with the Nets, he averaged 20.5 points per game. 15.5. That number is going to come down, but you're getting 15.5 per game from the big man so far, and close to 7 rebounds a game. That also is the most he's had since he was a member of the Brooklyn Nets. Blocked shots, most he's had in a Bucks uniform. 2.4 per game. The second year in Milwaukee was his high. It's at 2.7 right now, and this would be the highest in his career. He's been incredible, and it's what we talked about last year. Why is the defense so bad? Why did the defense look mediocre? No Brook Lopez. When he's back in the middle, you see how much that changes things. So we think and hope we'll see Brook Lopez tomorrow. But as we said, Giannis and Drew Holiday both ruled out for the final game of this road trip in San Antonio against the Spurs. We will preview that matchup for you and wrap things up after this. It's Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. All right, final few minutes of the show here. Tomorrow night, the road trip wraps up. The Bucks in San Antonio against the Spurs, and you will not see or hear Dave Kane calling highlights containing Giannis and Drew Holiday in that one. The debuts of Chris Middleton and Pat Connaughton still on ice. Maybe we'll see those at the homestand when it begins on Monday. A brief homestand, two games. So what the Bucks have in front of them, you got to get past the Spurs. And the Spurs have been okay this year. Devin Vassell and Keldon Johnson have taken a step forward for them. And Jeremy Sochan, another player to keep an eye on tomorrow, already drawing comparisons to a young Dennis Rodman just with his play style and the fact that he has his hair dyed a different color on a nightly basis and wears the number 10. But Jeremy Sochan, a good, young, skilled wing defender as well, should be an interesting matchup. And it's a Spurs team that coming into the season you thought would be one of the worst in basketball. It's still early. They've been mediocre too bad, but certainly not one of the worst teams. But this Bucks team is 10-1, two games clear of the Cavs and the Celtics in the East because of Brook Lopez, Giannis, Drew Holiday, and that defense. A 102.9 defensive rating, a far cry from where they were a season ago when they played largely the entire season without Brook, but a 102.9 defensive rating. It is nearly 4 points per 100 possessions better than the second best defense belonging to the Phoenix Suns. You got the Suns and the Cavs, both near 107 for a defensive rating, and the Clippers are there as well. Those are your top four defenses. In the ultimate sign that it is, in fact, early in the season, the Chicago Bulls right now have the fifth best defense. But that Bucks defense has been incredible. The only thing holding them back, when you look at the net rating, they're third in net rating because the offense has just been slightly below average. And again, that's going to change when you get healthy and you get Chris Middleton in the mix. When Joe Ingles is a part of this team in the second half of the season, that's going to change it. And who knows, maybe you'll continue to see steps forward from Marjan Beauchamp as well. But this is exactly what Bud wants. You'd rather work on the offense and have a defense that is finely tuned, as we've seen here 11 games into the season, because that's how the Bucks won the title 2 years ago. And you got a defensive rating of 102.9, 3.5, nearly 4 points better than the next after just giving up 132 points last night. Granted, a double overtime game, but still, that is just how dominant that defense has been. And Brook Lopez is the guy leading. The Bucks are taking away everything at the rim once again. And what is more impressive, wide open threes, uncontested threes, both down big time. Overall three-point attempts, especially those in the corner, also down. So tomorrow night, road trip wraps up. Bucks in San Antonio against the Spurs. Dave Kane and myself will have you at 6:30 as we begin our coverage on the Bucks Radio Network. And then stick around after the game for Bucks Talk as we'll recap the road trip and look ahead to the start of a big homestand on Monday night. My thanks to Justin Pottinger for producing the show and everybody for listening. Talk to you again next week with more Bucks Weekly.